Our lesson today is taken from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses did not write the book of Deuteronomy in order to set forth new rules and regulations, new laws of God, but rather to recap all that had happened in their 40 years of traveling. This was the closing appeal on the part of a great leader of Israel to those whom he had led out of Egypt and formed into a nation. It was directed towards inducing them to keep the law of God, the covenant of their Lord, that it might be well with them and their children. With this in view, Moses selected these facts of the past history in order to remind them of what happens when people turn from God or mistrust God. This address that Moses gave to the people of Israel takes place after he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and there were three other kings. These words were spoken while he was standing beyond Jordan. The term or the phrase beyond Jordan is always referred to the east side of Jordan. Moses had brought the people this far, and now he knew that he was not going to go in. God had already told him. So Moses did a recap. He did a review of their journey up to now. Moses had many fond memories. Moses also had memories that he wished he did not have. These were the last words of a disappointed man. Moses had dreamed of going over into the promised land with the people he loved. He loved them enough that he was willing to give his soul for these people. So you know, Moses was disappointed that he would have to step away from the leadership before they entered in. And I'm sure that there were things that the people didn't want to hear. But Moses reminds them anyway. He reminds them of the time when at Mount Sinai, when God spoke to him and told him to come up to me unto the mountain and be there. I like that terminology. God says, come up to me in the mountains and be there. And then God told Moses, I will give you tablets of stone and a law and a commandment which I have written that you may teach them. The law of God was written by God. And listen to what else Moses said. And when I was going up on to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, even the tablets of the covenant which the Lord has made with you, I was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. And the Lord, Moses said, the Lord delivered unto me two stones written with the finger of God. Can you imagine that? Moses holding in his arms two stone tablets with words on them written by the finger of God. I believe it was the same finger that wrote on the Babylonian palace walls. I believe it was the same finger that Jesus used to write on the ground when the adulterous woman was brought to them. I believe it was the same finger that Jesus used to cast out devils. These words that were written on this table was written by the finger of God. And then Moses describes it. The tablets were written on both their sides. On the one side, and on the other side were they written. Our first Bible was 4 pages, 2 leaflets written on the front and the back, but 4 pages, 2 leaflets, 4 pages. God wrote these with his finger, but after that, I believe that God wrote his words with the fingers of men energized by the Holy Spirit. And when God delivered these 2 tablets up to Moses, the Lord said to him, "Get up quickly from here, for the people which you have brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves." Can you believe that? No sooner had they been freed from bondage than they began to corrupt themselves. This was a reminder that the people did not want to hear. But then Moses reminded them of the time when God told them to enter into the promised land. He promised them that they would be victorious. And Moses told them, "I took 12 men of you, one of every tribe, and searched it out." Moses got the suggestion of appointing judges from Jethro. The idea of sending spies to search out the land originated with the people. Moses was well pleased with it, and with God's permission, adopted it. A policy of caution that it was. Caution in itself is a virtue. It is never wise to rush into an undertaking without well-planned measures. The church would do well to have men out in the field to keep a sharp watch on the fortifications and the movements of the enemy and bring back intelligence which will guide or otherwise help those whose time and thoughts are devoted to the actual warfare. But there can be some unexpected results of such a policy. We see here the danger of a policy of cautions when it springs from an over-fearfulness. When caution is divorced from courage and gets the upper hand, its natural tendency is to neutralize enthusiasm, to concentrate attention on the difficulties, and plays into the hands of those who don't want to do anything, and to furnish them with an excuse for delay. I'm going to stop the lesson right here, but let me say this one thing before I step away from the microphone. We don't have time for delay. We are living in urgent times. Our cities are being burned to the ground. Our unborn are being slaughtered by the millions. Hatred is on the rise. Love is on the downturn. We don't have time to delay. I know we can't do everything, but I believe that God has assigned us to something. Do we not weep when we see the newscast, when we see the hatred and the riotings that's going on in our cities? Does it not break our heart? Does it not bring a tear to our eye? I think it should.